Welcome to the Wayfinder Psychedelic Podcast. This is a space for healers, seekers, coaches, and curious souls navigating the inner terrain of transformation. I'm Joy Whitmore.
And I'm Samantha McClenican. Together, we explore the intersection of wayfinding wisdom, psychedelic healing, and the magic that unfolds when we slow down and listen deeply to ourselves, to the medicine, and to one another. This podcast is part story sharing, part soul inquiry, part practical toolkit, all rooted in reverence for the feminine path of transformation. Let's begin.
Woohoo! Well, it's so interesting because we love talking about IFS, and I'm pretty sure it's Martha that planted that seed. Plenty of our listeners, however many, two or three of those that there are, probably already know about IFS, but I just want to give a quick refresher or introduction to people who may not be as familiar with what IFS is and who Richard Schwartz is. So IFS is a therapeutic model developed by Dr. Richard Schwartz. He was a family therapist, and he realized that when he was working with people, and we do it all the time, we talk about a part of myself wants to do this and a part of myself wants to do that. He started to see those parts as having a purpose instead of being pathological. So, you know, in the mid-1900s, which seems so long ago now, a lot of times when people talked about having parts or different aspects of their personality, there became some kind of pathological association. And we had to see, do they have, you know, multiple personalities? But Richard Schwartz knew that this wasn't the case. So at the heart of his IFS model is the belief that we're not just one self. We're made up of many parts, each that have their own thoughts, feelings, and needs. And beneath it all, we also have what is called the self, which is really an inner source of wisdom, compassion, and calm. The model has become incredibly popular, not just in clinical settings, but lately, in coaching, spiritual work, and more recently in psychedelic integration. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But this is actually, I am enrolled in the Symphony of Self Coaches Rising IFS training. So I'm super excited because we're actually getting CE credits for this. And so I'm, you know, I'm on the borderline when it comes to getting that certification and being legit. But sometimes the learning is really great. But Sam, maybe there's some earlier origins of parts work that you want to talk about.
Right. Yes. Okay. I also really love Richard Schwartz. He is, you know, clearly a very self-led man who's done a lot of work, a very gentle soul, very wise. And I just really appreciate how hard he has worked over the last 40 years to develop this model and now to share it with others. I was very fortunate to take the IFS Institute online circle course. It was a great 6-month course. But I do want to mention here at the beginning that a lot of these incredibly powerful healing modalities, it does feel like there's a certain amount of gatekeeping that goes on. And for a lot of institutions, this means no coaches. Therapist only. And I'm so grateful that the IFS Institute has heard coaches asking to be trained, and they are listening. And I really appreciate that. So now they have something called IFS Foundations for Coaches. They've just started a new cohort, so we're going to have to wait several months before the next one opens up. But I do want to mention to coaches that that is now an option. And I also want to say that I think maybe Martha Beck had a little something to do with that, because Martha was, you know, a real early proponent of this healing modality. And she talked about it at length, you know, through her podcasts And she introduced just a little bit of it into the Wayfinder Life Coach training. We didn't work, in depth, but we did have a tool called the Creature, the Controller, and the Compassionate Witness. So we've been kind of on this journey, learning more and more about IFS. And it seems like the more we learn, the more we fall in love with it because we realize how powerful it is. But the thing is, it's not new. It's not new. And I want to give Richard Schwartz all due credit for bringing this philosophy of personality to the Western world. But it's not new. And I actually found that out through kind of a funny way.
Do tell.
I really loved Comedy Central's Tales from the Trip.
Yes.
And yes, and what it is, it's just people talking about their psychedelic experiences. They're just telling the story. That's all they do. They tell the story of their psychedelic experience, and then they have artists that animate it. So you're watching this short animated video while somebody tells their story. I don't feel great about some of the stories. I feel really, really good about others. But there's one that stands out for me. Somebody was talking about their ayahuasca experience, and they talked about being during their journey being attacked by these monkeys and feeling really upset and really scared. And a shaman came noticed the shaman noticed and came over and calmed the monkeys. I can't remember how he did it, but he was able to soothe and calm the monkeys. And then a little bit later in that person's journey, they found themselves in a conference room sitting with all the monkeys at the table. And the shaman was able to explain to them that those are the parts, those are all the hurting parts that are coming to get in the same room and to talk and to work things out. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is IFS right now. I have heard
Yes.
directly from Richard Schwartz that sometimes you need to round up your parts and get them all in the same room. You need to have a family meeting. And that's what this was. And so I realized that these indigenous wisdom holders, they have already known this. They've already known this. They've already
Of
known about
course.
parts for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So I also want to give so much credit to our indigenous wisdom keepers. But you know what? It makes me feel even better about IFS because it offers this validity to it, that this theory of personality, there really is something to it. Would you have anything else to add to that, Joy?
No, but you started to touch on this one of the shows, one of the episodes of the show. I want to hear more about what you think about using IFS with psychedelic preparation.
Yes. Okay. So I fell in love with IFS. I listened to every podcast I could get my hands on. At this point, there was no training for coaches, but I started practicing it. I started practicing it on myself. I started practicing it on my spouse. And, slowly, mostly with coach friends, I didn't use it with clients. With coach friends, I saw it for what a beautiful tool, what a beautiful and powerful tool it is. And so I started using it a little bit, even though I want to be very clear about this. The IFS Institute does not condone this, using the IFS tools with people without any formal training. But yeah, that's what happened. And I began to realize how important, and I've had training since then, but I began to realize how important it is before a psychedelic experience, which, if you don't know, it's going to reveal whatever is in your subconscious. It's going to bring everything to the forefront. And oftentimes, this means it's going to bring hurt parts straight to the surface. And so I began to incorporate lots of IFS work into my preparation with my coaching clients before they have a psychedelic journey. And I call this getting the lay of the land. And I believe that this is really important because I tell them, you're going to have to go there no matter what, because once you're in that medicine space, you're not really going to have a choice.
Exactly.
So, yes. So, better to go in ahead of time and start building these muscles of learning how to step back and unblend from a part and, take on the role of the self. And you're not even taking it on. Once you step back, once you give some space, you'll find that self is just there. Self is just there. And so once you can build up that muscle of learning to be, the compassionate witness and learning how to unblend, I believe that that's so important. And I think that that also contributes to harm reduction in psychedelic experiences.
And say more about what that means for you by saying that.
So, we've talked about this before. We believe that there really is no such thing as a bad trip. The medicine always shows you what you need to see. I
Tell that
believe
to
that.
my 4 month or what, 4 week ago self.
Okay, all right. But nobody wants to hear that when they're having a hard time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so there's no such thing as a bad trip. However, we know that psychedelic experiences can be extremely intense in a way that is very challenging and sometimes destabilizing. And so when we go in ahead of time and we get the lay of the land and we help people build up this framework, I don't even want to call it a framework. That sounds too sterile and clinical for me. But when they feel safe to go in and look at a part with compassion, that's going to help them in their journey. And even if they do still have a tough journey, they're going to be able to, I believe, reflect on it in a more healthy, holistic way when it comes to integration on the other side. So, fewer bad trips in general when people have a deep understanding of the parts that exist within themselves. And when you do IFS enough, you come to believe the truth and the truth that, Richard Schwartz preaches, there are no bad parts. There really are no bad parts. Even the most, off the wall or aggressive parts of us deep down, they're just trying to help us, and they're most likely hurt children. So the
Yes.
more we can grasp that truth before we go into a deeply altered state, the better, I believe.
Yes. And additionally, I would say what I'm hearing you say, but you're just wanted to add, I think pre-journey, we also, as coaches, get an insight into the client's internal family system, and we can help prepare not only the client but ourselves for what might arise, because these protectors have a job to do. So we might be able to get the client to set agreements with them ahead of time so that they try and give us space, or give the client space to really process what's
Oh,
happening.
that's right. That's another really important tool that when you begin working with parts, there is an unspoken, law of IFS that you can ask your parts not to overwhelm you. You can ask your parts, please calm down. Please don't do this. Please don't hijack, my client's body or whatever. And they will listen. They will
Yes.
listen.
Yeah. And it's just knowing as a coach and preparing our clients. And also in this training, I heard Richard Schwartz say, I love this so much, that he actually wakes up in the morning and has a family meeting with his internal family and just says, hey, here's what's going on today. Anybody have any concerns or suggestions about how we might go about this? I thought that was brilliant. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. Family meeting in the morning. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, you were my guide for my own journey. And so we did some parts work ahead of time. Do you think that was helpful for my journey?
You tell me.
Well, I mean, I'm still processing and still integrating. So if you could maybe share what came up, what I said, about what happened in that part of my journey with
Okay.
my parts.
Yes. Yeah, and this brings up another good point about the importance of prep work when it comes to psychedelic experiences. whoever is going to be guiding you, you know, and there are different ways of doing it. Clearly, we have our preferred way of doing it, which is, wayfinder centered. But this also allows your guide to get a good idea of the things that might come up for their client during a journey. And so, yes, we did some IFS leading up to this. And, I had a pretty good idea of the things that you had been battling with and the things that you really wanted to explore during your journey. And, you and I have been doing so much work with our parts. I think now we're just 100% in. We have seen and experienced enough with ourselves and with our clients to know that yes, this is real. This theory of personality, that we have multiple parts, that we have a self, we know that it's real. And I was absolutely amazed that during your journey, you were able to identify when you were becoming blended with parts that were like really anxious and starting to kind of take over the journey and take it into a distressing place. And you were able to unblend, step back, and be in self during your journey. Do you want to talk about that?
Like I said, I'm still unpacking it, but it was sort of wild. And I want to like retrace some of back because not only was it the psychedelics, but it was the container. And I had to express to you ahead of time, like, hey, there's a part of me that doesn't want anybody to fucking talk to me when I'm in my journey. And like, that is important to me, to my parts too. And my parts were really worried, like, is this person going to listen to this part that needs to be held in sacred silence? So that was really important. But I think as I started to navigate some of the darker parts of my journey, some of it became almost self-sabotaging from within the journey. Like my parts were wanting to deep in the darkness, which is not terrible. I mean, it's part of the work that we do, but I just remember stepping into self, and Richard Schwartz talks about this when it comes to psychedelics too. There's a podcast or Tim Ferriss show, if you're interested, and he clearly talks about how IFS and psychedelics are so good to do together. And I feel like before this, we had been talking about Richard Schwartz. So I was kind of embodying my Richard Schwartzness in my own journey. And I was just like, hey, parts. This is going to be it was almost like I could see that they were trying to protect this exile. And it was so much that I said, hey, there's a polarization going on. And what that means is when two parts are protecting, but they think that they have a different goal, but they really have a common goal. And this exile was underneath. And I realized that these two parts were at war. And so I think within my journey was when I was able to really easily step into self and say, hey, okay, let's redirect here. That's what I remember of it. I'll have to go read my notes again.
Yeah, that's amazing. You told me that you were able to, yes, exactly, like stop, like show them some love, like bring some awareness to what was happening. And you kind of took charge and said, nope, we're not going to go down that path. We're not going to go down that dark path, which I just thought was Jedi level, Jedi level psychedelic work.
It was tough. It was the
Yeah.
journey up to that point in itself was really challenging. So, my therapist kind of was like, did you want to go down deeper into the darkness? And I'm like, no, I'd had enough by that point. So, yes, myself was willing to step in and say, okay, parts, party's over for now. We'll come back to it.
Yes, and there is absolutely a time and place, to just sit back and be a witness and let them show you all the pain, all the hurt. But it seemed like in this case, it wasn't so much pain and hurt as it was worry, right? Like worry and fear about what could happen, or why am I this way?
Yes.
And
It was the
yeah.
why am I this way? Why is my mind like this? That was
Yeah.
the rabbit hole I was going down. Thank you for the reminder. And that's where I could just tell my parts were trying to protect me from, having the journey and just spending time in thought loops. And that's where I decided it was time to be the witness and see what was going on. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. And you know what was really beautiful after that is that you were still able to take a look at that issue in your life, but you were able to look at it from a higher perspective. Instead of getting stuck down in the muck, down in the darkness, you were able to look at it from a different perspective and maybe even like a higher source reveal to you that there's nothing wrong with the way that you are. And, yes, this is the way that your mind works, but that's not a bad thing. You were shown how that's actually a great benefit to you and to the world, which I think is just so lovely.
And that's a huge healing message for that part of myself that needed that message. And I think that's the beauty of parts work is that when we feel something that is not comfortable, if it's anger or worry or fear, we often try and push it down. And that is what keeping our system all, chaotic. But when we just give that fear or that worry or anxiety a moment, and if you've watched the movie Inside Out or Inside Out 2, this is a really good example of that. But when we just give a voice or just give a moment or just even a breath to that part, and it can be super helpful.
Can we talk about Inside Out for just a minute?
Let's do it.
Okay, because I know Richard Schwartz has said some things about the Inside Out movies. What have you heard him say?
Gosh, I can't quote it, but I know I've heard him say like this is the blueprint for his the IFS system, basically. It's just such a great illustration to tell you what parts are if you don't
Yeah.
understand. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And they're all just doing their job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing
That's
their
the
job.
brilliant part of the movie. It gives that part, because not just where the, does the kid have a bunch of parts inside of her, but they're each doing a job.
Right. They're all trying to help her.
Yeah.
I always come back to the scene. And this reminds me of kind of, what happened in your experience. I always come back to this scene in Inside Out 2 where Anxiety, who's simply trying to imagine all the worst case scenarios, right? So that she can keep this kid safe. So she's imagining all these horrible things that could happen. She has hijacked all the little workers in Imagination Land. And she's forcing them, she's working them around the clock brutally, having them come up with all the horrible things that could possibly happen to Riley, this child. And Joy and crew come in and they say, nope, we're not going to do this. We're not going to use our imagination this way. And instead, they start fueling imagination to imagine all the wonderful things that could happen instead. And they kind of go on and on and on, like to the point where it just gets like ridiculous. One example is, okay, so the girl plays hockey. They're using imagination just to imagine the most like wild in Wayfinder coaching, we would call them wildly audacious goals. And in the movie, they say, imagine that she joins the US Olympic hockey team and she rallies a weary nation to victory. And the little girl, her anxiety calms down and she goes to sleep feeling happy. And it's like we can see that this part is trying to help, but we can also set limits and say, nope, we're not going to use our imagination that way.
Yeah.
Nope, we're not going to go down that path.
Yep. You're
And
right.
I
That does
feel,
parallel what happened in my journey.
yeah, like, and I just love at the end of the movie that they're taking care of anxiety. They're taking
Yeah.
care of her. Like they put her in a cozy massage chair and get her a hot
Yes.
drink. I love that because, like, We love our parts. We know that they're just trying to keep us safe, but we are also going to set limits, and we're not just gonna, writhe around in the darkness.
It's so important that piece at the end is very important because it's like, wait a minute, we've got to stop anxiety from doing what she does and give her a new role. Now her role is to relax and to be catered to by the other parts so she can figure out
Totally.
what she's going
Yes.
to do next.
Yes. And also, like, just a quick, okay, tell us what's the worst thing that could happen? Because they do that at the end. They're like, okay, anxiety, just give us a real quick, stormy weather forecast. Okay,
Yeah.
now you can relax.
Yes.
Thank
Yes.
you. Thank you for doing what you do.
Yes. And this is
I
so
love that.
important with psychedelics and parts work and coaching. If we can get some loosening for ourselves and our clients with these parts that like to run our lives, you know?
So I know that we are kind of talking about IFS and how it can be used for psychedelic prep work. If you do enough of it, you might find that you can even use IFS in the midst of a journey like you did, which is amazing. And then we have on the other side of a psychedelic journey, IFS for integration. So we talk about that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I have definitely used it in integration because sometimes I find clients aren't as open to it prior to having their medicine journey. And then afterwards, they're like, what was that IFS thing you said again? Let's try that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it can be fun. We'll talk about that too. But what about you? What are your thoughts about using it in integration?
Oh my gosh, I said the exact same thing. I hammer on IFS before a journey, and if they're not really into it beforehand, they are certainly into it afterward. That's been my experience too. So the reason why I think it's so important for us to use IFS for integration is that the medicine that we work with, psilocybin, it is connective in nature. Psilocybin, it's like it drives us toward wholeness. It wants us to come into wholeness. It reconnects us to nature and to one another, to spirit and to ourselves. And building on this, using IFS is, I think, so incredible. Like Dick Schwartz has this morning meeting with his parts now. And we can do the same thing with integration. So the journey oftentimes makes people aware. It makes them aware finally that they have these different parts, that they essentially have children. They have all these children inside of them. Okay, so going forward, how can we continue to heal these children? How can we, like you said, give them a new job, give them a role that feels really good and really fulfilling? And so using IFS is a great way to build on a psychedelic journey and continue the
Absolutely.
healing and the wholeness. Oh, especially in that really sweet spot, those few weeks of increased neuroplasticity after a psychedelic experience. I mean, you think about how connective the mycelium is, how it connects different parts of our brain, acutely during the experience, parts that don't normally communicate with one another. And then afterward, we're creating all kinds of new dendrites and our neurons are literally becoming more connected.
Right. And then also after a journey, if person in question has had insights or memories, it could be an opportunity to remap parts to see, are those parts still serving the same purpose? Are they still having the same roles, fears, concerns? Because now that maybe this experience has happened, things shifted and changed. So having a party with your part or having a meeting with your parts afterwards could be a good way to say, hey, I don't believe this about myself anymore. Let me just let everybody in the internal family know so we can move on and proceed
Yes.
in a different direction. I think it's really
Yeah.
powerful to do that with clients.
Yes. And the Wayfinder Psychedelic Collective is so big on integration because we believe it's not enough just to go through your life seeking these peak experiences. We need to allow them to change us. Yeah.
Speaking of the Wayfinder Psychedelic Collective, I want to kind of blow my own horn and talk about I don't know how long it's been. It's been at least 10 months or so, but it's almost been a year since there were seven of us initially who got together as founders of this amazing collective. And we dropped down to six, but it was perfect timing because I came up with the idea, and I'm going to put a disclaimer in front of this. If you do this, be very careful the people who are involved because it can be fun and it can also be very revealing. But I came up with the idea for a parts party, and I invited everyone who was in our founder group to pick a part of themselves that they wanted to share with the group. It could be a protector, exile, whatever. And I asked if you wanted to dress up as the part, if you wanted to share a story, a picture, whatever. And then we also made the optional microdosing before our parts party. So it was pretty exciting because I learned a lot about the other members of the founders. And I learned some things about Sam. I'm sure people learn things about me, but this could be a great tool that if you're a group facilitator or if you work in groups of people who maybe are comfortable with each other after a psychedelic journey, this could be a really interesting way for people to get more connected and learn more about those things. And then those parts are so excited to be seen. So that's super healing. And you spoke about collective healing as well.
Oh my goodness. It was so beautiful. That felt like a turning point for our team of founders. Honestly, it did. And you called it a parts party. And I think, my part, my librarian part, felt a little nervous showing up. She's not exactly a party girl. But by the end, I swear it did. It felt like the very best slumber party ever. All these young girls showing up, just like totally supportive, totally just loving on one another. People were able to be vulnerable and held and loved in that safe space. And yes, we all brought pictures of our younger selves. It was really beautiful. It was so healing. And I think that this is an amazing tool for community healing, which is something that I'm feeling a real pull to move toward, and honestly, something that is not new. It's not new. This goes back since time immemorial with, indigenous people, that we don't necessarily focus so much on individual healing. We focus on group healing. We focus on the entire community. And there's so much richness to be had from that. You don't realize until you're sitting in a community space and people are opening up and being vulnerable that it's not just healing them, it's healing you too. It really is. There's some kind of magic that happens. And that parts party was absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you. I think it was just one of those divine gifts of an idea from the universe. And it was in a, and again, it was in a container where I felt like we would be able to have that experience and feel safe, as wayfinders. And I look
Yes.
forward to incorporating it in a future retreat. I think that would
Oh,
be
100%. Yes.
amazing. Dress up parties. Everybody loves a dress up party.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, the sweetness of it, because these parts, they're children. And so a lot of it is like it gets to the point where it's like we're all letting our inner child out to play and to feel
Yes.
safe, to feel
Yes.
safe together. It's so beautiful. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about it.
Please, if anyone's listening, go out, have a parts party with people that you care about and see how fun it is.
Yeah, it's easy. Just, let people know ahead of time, choose a part that you want to bring. I personally wouldn't recommend that anybody bring like an unhealed exile. Right. Okay. So let's just be really clear about that. I also recommend that it be, guided and facilitated by someone who has knowledge and experience of IFS.
Very good. All right. Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a part two because there's so many ways that we can talk about pre-journey, during journey, and post-journey uses of IFS and psychedelics. There are also several institutes that are using it as part of their psychedelic curriculum for facilitators, which I think is amazing. It's really good. I think Synthesis is one of those, MAPS, and I cannot think of the other one, but that makes a lot of sense to me that they would embrace that.
Yeah, absolutely. This, it's not the only healing modality, but it's become a key component of my work with clients.
Same.
Yeah. I would love it in the future. And maybe listeners would too if they enjoy psychedelic stories as much as I do. I would love it if we could do an episode where we're sharing psychedelic stories that have to do with IFS or encounters with parts. I myself have had a really, really big one with a strong and scary inner critic that I would love to talk about.
Let's do that. I'd love to get all of the founders on a call and then have story time. I think maybe that would be great. We still have two that we haven't heard from yet, and we'd love to get their voices in the room. We do have some things coming up in a couple of months. We're doing an internal event for the coaches space and MBI, but we're going to be posting some more free events in our Mighty Network space. Am I forgetting something, Sam?
It's WPC, Internal
Oh.
for Wayfinder Psychedelic
No, I meant the coach spot is for.
Oh, the coach spot. Yes. Okay.
So I didn't want to say coach spot because then people are going to be like, what's a coach spot and how can I get to see it? It's not available unless you're a Wayfinder. But so we are doing that. If you are in the MBI coach space, you will be able to see it. But for those of you who are not, who may be new, still in training, please come find us in Mighty Networks, the Wayfinder Psychedelic Collective. We're going to be opening a new 8-week microdosing course sometime in September or October. We're not sure yet. We're still waiting to see what the feedback is from our most recent one that we just closed. Sam, do you have anything else that you want to add before we say goodbye today?
Yes, if you are, psychedelic curious, and it doesn't matter if you're not a coach, if you're just a seeker, just someone who is curious about what we're doing and you would like to learn more, please do join us. The Wayfinder Psychedelic Collective is open to all curious souls.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for all of your amazing knowledge, Sam, and thank you for working with me with parts because I love it.
Oh, it's fabulous. Best job in the world.
Yeah, and you can find Samantha at her website, samanthamclinican.com. If you don't know how to spell it, just check our details on our podcast. And you can find me at joywhitmore.com. And also, please visit psychedelicwayfinder.com for any more details that you may have missed, including some of our blog posts and so forth. But thanks for listening. We hope that you're out there. We look forward to our next chat with you. Much love.